Well, good morning, Waller Baptist Church, and good morning, friends on Facebook Live. We are so excited about being here this morning. I'm so excited about a worship band being a little bit bigger. That was a great job, guys. Thank y'all so much. We're still going about our time at home together with the family. Yesterday, we were playing some games, and someone mentioned, hey, we've got a lot of extra wood outside. And so we decided last night, me and the girls and Rebecca, that we would do a bonfire. And so me and Sydney were kind of put over getting that thing together. I guess me because I'm the only guy around, and Sydney because she had spent the last 6 months working at a camp, so she's made lots of fire. So we went out and we gathered up wood that's been sitting around. Some of that wood had been there a year or more. It was nice and dry wood. And then we had a little fire pit area, and we got over there. Of course, Sydney knew how to kind of build the fire, and I knew how to use a lighter fluid. So we got that thing going really good, just a little bit of a spark, and that thing started taking off, and we got everybody out there, and we were doing marshmallows. By the end of the night, we still had some wood left, and so me and Sydney started breaking it down real good, and we said, let's just pour it to it. So we just started stacking all that wood in this little fire pit, and I mean, in a minute, me and Sydney were going, well, maybe we went just a little bit too far, and this huge, 5-foot flame, and we're like, we're backing up 10 foot from the fire pit because the fire was so intense. But that kind of caught me when that fire got so big. Just how powerful ignition is. If we went from a little spark on a lighter to a little bit more flame on some cardboard paper that we had to the fire in the pit going and catching with a little bit of fluid getting it going really good. But by the end of the night, that little bit of flame, that little bit of spark, that little bit of ignition had a flame that was going 5 foot high and making us back up from it. And as I sat there last night, I started thinking about what we were preaching through in the book of Acts, and that's that power of ignition. The power that one spark that happened in Jerusalem that started that fire, and then that fire just started spreading and spreading and spreading, and just the incredible power of ignition. As we start a little bit farther into Acts, and today we're going to be in Acts chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 8. As we start looking at that, and we're looking at what does it take to ignite that fire? What does it take to get a flame burning so hot and so bright here that we start affecting the world? Last week we said, the very start of that is loving God. Just the very start of it. You have to have a passion and a love for God. The second thing is believing without a doubt in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, saying that we have a connection with this loving God that's been paid for. That we don't have to think about that relationship, what we have to do to earn that relationship anymore, that it was paid for in full through Jesus Christ. And then that understanding that we have to do things through the power of God and not through our own power. So we're going to continue that, kind of build on that a little bit today. Verse 6, let's start there. In verse 6, we see, then they gathered around him, and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so as we look at this scripture, the first thing that we see, and I think this is kind of almost a, if you're going with that wood and that fire type imagery, what kind of wood are we? Are we wet, soppy wood, or are we dry wood ready to be ignited? Because here's what we see. In verse 6, they asked him, they said this. They said, "Is it time for your kingdom to be here on earth?" Now, a couple of things to grasp there is, they were thinking, "Okay, well, Jesus, you've died, you've resurrected, and now it's time for you to set up your kingdom here, and we're going to rule with you, and now we're going to be in this position where we don't have to worry about all that stuff about, you know, the Jews chasing us or the Roman government. We are going to be in control. Is this it, God? Is this the time where we're going to finally get the reward?" The verb there, ask him, is in that tense of continually asking. Continually asking. It was like it was forefront on their mind. You know, God, is now the time. Is now the time for your kingdom. Is now the time for your kingdom. And watch how Jesus replies. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the date the Father has set by his own authority." So what Jesus basically said, no, it's not the time yet. Now, he didn't say that's not going to happen. He didn't say don't hope for that. He didn't say that. In fact, there is going to be a time when Jesus returns to this earth, sets up his kingdom here on this earth, but it's not the time yet. And basically, he was asking the disciples, are you ready for that? Are you ready for this thought of it's going to happen, but there's going to be some time in between it? You know, what if it was the right time? If it was the right time, it would have saved the disciples a lot of heartache, right? I mean, there was going to be arguments, there was going to be persecution, there was going to be, traveling throughout the world. You're going to see them going to prison. Finally, you're going to see them, die martyrs' deaths. If it was the time, they could skip all that. It would be a lot more comfortable, right, if Jesus' earthly kingdom came right then. So here was the question that Jesus was asking at this point. Do you choose my kingdom the way I'm going to do it, or do you choose your comfort? Which one do you want? If you want to be the start of this fire that's going to spread, you've got to answer that question. What's more important to you, my kingdom and the way I'm going to do it, which is a long spread out way, or your comfort right now? Well, we still battle that question. How are you doing with that? Do you choose your comfort over God's kingdom? You know, like we said, for the disciples, what that meant, if they chose God's kingdom, is they're going to have to be ready to go and travel and travel and travel. They're going to have to go and still be persecuted by the Jewish community, still be persecuted by the Roman government. They were going to have to die if they chose that. The question was, why? God, why should I choose that over my comfort? And it's very simple. In that, and we talked about it last week, it was going to go, if the kingdom came right at that moment, it was just a small group in Jerusalem. But God said, I want to include in the Samaritans. I want to include in the Gentiles. You see, if it came then, that wouldn't have happened. I think for us, wouldn't it be easier if Jesus just came back right now? I was telling some of our staff here earlier, I got a call from my mom last night, and she's in the hospital right now with a fever and coughing. They don't think it's the COVID. They're doing the diagnosis right now. They think it's a magnesium thing or something like that. But you just think, it would be so much nicer if mom didn't have to go through that. It'd be so much nicer. We got a call last night from Chuck Kennedy. If y'all haven't heard yet, Lisa's cancer has returned. It's in her spleen and in her liver, I think. And it would just be so much nicer, right, if she didn't have to go through that. Do you know people that are hurting right now? And just to think, if Jesus would come back right now, just right now, there'd be no more sickness. There'd be no more pain. There would be peace in that long-term, picture of what God's doing in the Christian's life. Boy, it would be easier for us. But would it be easier for your lost neighbor if Jesus came back right now? Would it be easier for that person that you work with that doesn't know anything about Jesus Christ? Would it be easier for those Muslim countries out there where missionaries are trying as hard as they can to within the environment that they're in, to share the love of Christ? Would it be easier for them if Jesus came back right now? And the answer is no. You know, it's so much simpler for us to say, God, you know, for me, it'd be more comfortable. I want to choose comfort over your kingdom. But Jesus said, it's not the time yet for your comfort. And there's a reason for it. It's a reason to wait. It's a reason to trust in me. It's a reason to seek me, because there's more of my plan to go out. God wants us to live with the burden of, I want others to be in God's kingdom as well. And that means that you've got to be okay with being uncomfortable. If you want to be a spark, if you want to be the wood that the flame starts sparking on, if you want to be that nice dry piece of wood that the Holy Spirit's just going to light up, then you've got to say, I choose God's kingdom over my comfort. If we get there, let's go into the next verse. In the next verse it says this. It says, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the date the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now that's a great thing, because so, you know, first we've got the wood, now it's time for the spark, right? In fact, if you look at that word in the Greek for power, it's the same word we get dynamite from, right? You know, you talk about last night, you know, we used a little spark to start that fire. You know, this is saying you'll throw a piece of dynamite in there. You know, let's see how quick we can get a fire going with that kind of power. You know, we compared it last week, right, when we were talking about the power of God versus the power of us, and I told you about my little dog, you know, that just thinks that she could do anything, and we're kind of that same way. We kind of think, well, we can do it of our own power, but can you just consider for just a second how much more powerful God is than we are? Yeah, I thought about that dynamite thought, and you know, the next thought in my mind says, you know, what's the biggest bomb? You know, what's the biggest bomb that's ever been exploded? You know, it, in my mind, I just kind of imagine the biggest bomb, and that would be called the Tsar bomb. The Tsar bomb, it's 3,500 times more powerful than the bomb that was on Hiroshima. 3,500 times more powerful. If you want to put it out, it's over 50 megatons. 50 megatons. That means 58 million tons of dynamite is what this Tsar bomb that they exploded, I think, in 1965. It was a Russian bomb that they exploded, testing it out. When they tested it out, they had to explode 2 miles above the surface, because it would have, you know, just obliterated whatever, where there it is, everything in its path if they let it hit the ground. 2 miles up, it exploded. Then the debris and the smoke plume went 40 miles into the sky. When this thing exploded, 50 megatons. In fact, they said they pulled it back. You know, theoretically, that bomb could have exploded at 100 megatons. You just think of the power of that, right? That's power. Then I looked and said, well, what's the largest explosion in the universe that we've seen? The largest explosion. That would be the very cool name of a supernova, which is Assassin 15LH. Isn't that a great name? They saw this supernova happening. A supernova is kind of when a star kind of loses control and goes into massive fusion and massive explosions. And what they found with this Assassin 15LH, I believe it was in 2015, they're watching this thing. And this is what they decided. They said, you know, just by judging how far it is, how bright it is, that would have been, okay, take this. I can't even get my mind around this. You take the Tsar bomb, the biggest explosion. the explosion that was happening on that supernova was a billion trillion times the Tsar bomb. I can't even get that. A billion trillion. And that was happening every second. Now, can I tell you, that's power, right? That's power. And God could take that assassin 15LH supernova, throw it in his eye, and never even blink. The power of God would so eclipse that. This thing that was a billion trillion times the largest explosion that's ever happened. Guys, why do we choose our own power? The God you served breathed that out in creation. The God you serve is so much more powerful. Jeremiah 32, 27, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for me? You know, we've got to say, I want God's kingdom, not my comfort. And I want to do it in God's power, not in my power. You know, when it says that it's not for you to know the time, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. That word witnesses is basically translated martyr. You know, just you're going to be the person that is willing to go out there and give up everything for me. But you kind of say, Blake, that's hard. That's a hard thought that I need to go out there and give up everything for God. But when you look at your own strength, what can you do on your own strength? You might be able to be nice to people in your own strength. You might be able to smile in your own strength. You might be able to do temporary things of your own strength. Well, here's what you can't do with your own strength. You can't defeat sin with your own strength. You can't walk in holiness with God in your own strength. You can't even share the message of Christ properly in your own strength. You can't do those things. You can do small things. But if you want to do big things, I mean, just think, how is your strength? How's your strength doing in your life right now? I mean, how are things going? I mean, I don't know about you, but does anybody make any New Year's resolutions? Anybody make any New Year's resolutions this year? Yeah, it's April. How are you doing? Yeah, have you kept your New Year's? I mean, it's so kind of funny that we so easily say we're going to do something, but we don't even have the power to do what we want to do. We sin when we say we aren't going to sin. You done that before? I'm not going to do that ever again. I'm never going to speak to my wife like that again. I'm never going to be so impatient with my children again. I'm never going to, you know, go after that in my workplace ever again. And then just a month later, just a week later, maybe even just a day later, you're doing it again. And you're doing it again. And you're doing it again. And your willpower isn't strong enough even to handle those small things. And yet, we keep going back to our strength, going back to our strength. It's like that little flame that me and Sydney lit last night and saying, I'm going to live by this. When I have the power of that assassin supernova to pull on, but I keep on going, I'm back to this. I'm back to this. We need the power of God in our life. Listen, we take those two things. We take this first and say, I'm going for God's will, God's kingdom, and not my comfort. I'm going for God's power and not my power. We take that wood and that flame, and you know what's going to automatically happen? God's mission is going to become our mission, right? God's mission is good. It's going to be automatic. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will. It doesn't say, you know, you're going to want to. It didn't say you might. It says, if you get into this position where you understand it's about my kingdom, and then you get into this position where you say, I'm going to take on God's power, then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know that wood last night didn't have a choice? Once I set it on fire, it didn't go, oh, I don't want to put out any heat. You know, I'm fine just the way I am. I don't want to put out any light. You know, I'm just not going to do that. You know, don't bring that marshmallow near me because I refuse to cook that marshmallow. No, it was automatic. I mean, when you had the wood in the right condition and you had the power to start the ignition on that wood, the automatic thing that happens is you just start lighting up, producing heat, producing light. You know, so many times we start talking about this, you be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, in all Judea, all Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And if you're like me, you've sat through sermons like that. And in the back of your mind, maybe in the front of your mind, you're just kind of going, well, I don't have time for that, Blake. You know, this thought of me going out and witnessing, do you know how busy I am? Do you know how uncomfortable that would be to try to add that into what I'm doing right now? You know, right now, you might be saying, I've got kids and I'm running them to this activity or that activity. Well, right now you're not, right? Right now you're just all staying in. But when this passes, you go right back into it again. The busyness of life. Yeah, I got this work project going. I got this bill I have to pay. I've got this thing I have to take care of with the house. I've got to get the taxes done. You know, I'm a grandparent. I've got all these grandkids with all these different activities, and I've got to try to hit every activity. Blake, when do I have time to add one more thing into my schedule? And what I want to challenge you with today is it's not one more thing. It's the one thing. It's not something to add. It's the thing that makes everything else have purpose. You know, it's not that you should not go to the Little League game, but you should go to the Little League game with this thought of, I am a shining light for Christ at a Little League game. That should be why you're going to the Little League game. When you go to the grocery store, you should be going, I'm going to be a shining light for God at the grocery store. It's the purpose, you know, in going to the grocery store, I'm going to get food to help me live. But my purpose actually for going to the grocery store is to be a shining light for Christ in the grocery store. I'm a shining light as I parent my kids. I'm a shining light as I'm a grandparent to my kids. Do you see, you're not a grandparent and then add in sharing Christ. You should be sharing Christ, and that means as a grandparent, that's part of the thing. You know, that's part of sharing Christ is grandparenting. Part of sharing Christ is going to work. Listen, why do we do Bible studies here? We do Bible studies here because we need to be sharing God's love with the world, and we've got to get ourselves acclimated to what God is teaching us. If we're just doing Bible studies so you can learn Bible studies, then we've lost the one thing. Why do we have offering here? Is offering just for giving? No, offering is for us to be able to give and to learn to be generous. And with that money, go out and share with everybody. You know, why do we have worship services? Worship services so we're worshiping God. So we can get that idea of God, what is your kingdom? And I want to go with that. I want to grab your power to give me the ability to do the one thing. It's your purpose. What is your purpose here on this world? It is to be a light shining for God. In whatever situation you are in, let your light shine. There was a VBS worker, and he was telling a kid how he could ask God to live in his heart. And the little kid looked at him. He said, if God is so big, if he lived in my heart, wouldn't he stick out? Exactly, right? Yeah, he should be sticking out. If you have God in your heart and he's not sticking out, there's a problem there. How's it going at letting God stick out in your life? How's that happening with you? Yeah, you know, here's a red flag. If I'm choosing my comfort, if I'm choosing my power, and if I'm choosing my mission in life, here's something to kind of let you know that, and this is happening. A, you either have no prayer life, you don't need it, you're doing it with your power and your comfort, and this is the hard one for Christians, your prayer life centers around you pleading to God for you. God, help me do this. God, help this situation in my life. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Where your entire prayer life is centered around how God can help you. Now, is that okay? Does God tell us we can ask God to help you? But if that is the majority of your prayer that says, God, how can I leverage you to give me something? If that's the majority of your prayer life, then you know that's a red flag that you're going for your comfort. You're going for your power, and you're going for your mission. Listen, when we have God's kingdom, God's power, and God's mission, what we're going to find is our prayer life starts in majority us pleading to God on how we can help God. Right? God, how can I help you reach this world? God, how can you use me to meet your needs, God? You know, when we shift our prayers to only a small amount of it is about us, but a majority of it is about, I want to know you more. I want to learn how to get more of your power. I want to understand you more, God. I want to know how to go out more. We're going to know that we've started that ignition. That flame is starting to jump up. That fire is kicking in. Jesus said, go out into the city. Go out into the nation. And go out into the world. Kind of funny. As I look right now, I've been spending a lot of time finding out about things in my city lately. What's the judge saying that we're supposed to do right now? Right? I've been very interested in the local environment that I live in. I've been really interested in the national environment. I mean, President Trump's on the live broadcast all the time. I want to hear what our nation is doing. I've been really interested in the world. You know, how is what's happening in China affecting me? How's what's happening over here affecting me? I've been interested in the city, the nation, and the world. But I've been interested in the city, and the nation, and the world because I want to know how it affects me. Isn't that interesting? The very thing that God told me to be interested in, the city, the nation, the world, I've twisted. And I'm spending time worrying about those things as it affects me. And I've spent hardly any time checking out this city to say, how can I share God's love more in this city? I've spent comparatively small time saying, how can I spread God's light and His heat and His warmth in this nation? I've spent relatively small time going, how can we affect the world as Christians? You see, we've got the right thing, worrying about our city, our nation, our world. But we're worrying about it for the wrong reasons. Small ambitions. Someone said one time, why wouldn't it be something if the church laid down all the small ambitions and grabbed hold of the power of God and grabbed God's ambitions instead? Which one are you settling for? Your ambitions or God's ambitions? Listen, in conclusion, Thursday, I was on a Zoom chat. Y'all know Zoom now. Some guys that I do some accountability with, and one of them said, man, I need prayer. He said, my wife went to visit her family. He said, last night she called and said, I'm not coming back. She said, it's time for us to separate. And he was just broken. He was hurting. He was dealing with this thought. You know, this time that he spent, I guess, at home with his wife has just culminated to where she couldn't take it anymore. She had to get away from him. And you know, so I was just feeling so tender for him. I look back on my bookcase and I found this book. It was called Before the Last Resort. I'd bought it at some time and I never picked it up. But I really felt God was telling me, Blake, you know, look at that book, study that book a little bit, and then be ready to walk through that book with that man. And so I said, okay, God. And so yesterday, I just started reading the book. It's an interesting book. It's a guy named George Kenworth, and this is what he said. He said, at my church, he's been a pastor for 30 years. He said, we do a lot of marriage counseling. And this caught my attention as I was reading this. He said, 90% of the people that come to us with broken marriages leave with God-honoring marriages. 90%. I just went, oh my goodness, how do you bat 90% with marriage counseling? I mean, I'm scared of marriage counseling, right? You know, I mean, I will if y'all need help, but I'm just saying it scares me. But here, this man was saying that 90% of the marriages that come into his office asking for counseling, that they eventually leave with renewed marriages, with God-honoring marriages. And so, you know, it piqued my interest. And I said, okay, God, you know, what is it? And, you know, very quickly, he said, there's just three questions. He said, now, this is a long, drawn-out process. I mean, it's not just come in and boom, everything's fixed. But he said, I start with three questions. And he said, if we can answer those three questions, yes. He said, I know there is a 90% chance that I can help your marriage. The three questions. Do you believe there is a God? I said, man, if you don't believe there's a God, you know, we don't have a chance here. Number two, are you willing to apply the principles of the Bible to your life? Are you willing to apply the principles of the Bible to your life? And number three, will you pray for God to strengthen you and your spouse? Will you commit to that? And I started looking at that, and I was starting to compare it to what I'm preaching about. And I started going, man, you know, it says, are you willing to apply the principles of the Bible to your life? Basically, it's saying, are you willing to choose God's kingdom over your comfort? Are you willing to choose what God says a marriage should be over what you want right now? Are you willing to say that's what you at least want? And then it says, will you pray for God to strengthen you? Would you use God's power instead of your power? Are you willing to say that you will use God's power instead of your power? And he said, if they say yes to that, then he said, you know, sometimes it's 9 months. You know, he used illustration after illustration after illustration. You might go, well, maybe they're just really good godly people and they just got small problems. No, I mean, he used like three different illustrations where actually one of the spouses is in the middle of having an affair and refuses to leave their partner that they found out there, but was willing to come to him and at least say, you know, he used a couple examples where one of the spouses wouldn't even come, but just one spouse came in there and said, I am willing to believe in God. I'm willing to apply God's scripture. I'm willing to pray that God would strengthen me and my spouse. And he said, there's this one story in this lady. She had another person that she was in love with. She said, I don't want anything to do with my husband. I refuse to leave him. And he said, will you do this, though? He said, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe in the Bible? Are you willing to apply this? She said, yeah, I'm willing to apply this. You know, will you pray that God will strengthen? Yes, I'll do that. 9 months later, she said, I'm ready to call it quits. She said, I haven't seen anything. And then the next day, she called him. Said, I was driving yesterday. See, all of a sudden I looked up and there was a 1-800 prayer line. She said, something just kind of stirred in me. She said, I got home and I turned on the TV and this commercial came on. It was another advertisement for this 1-800 prayer line. She said, man, God's trying to get my attention. She said, she picked up the phone, called the prayer line, and she said, on the prayer line, she started praying. And she said, son, she just felt God say, I'm here for you. And I will help you with this. She said, I'm ready to save my marriage. The thing I love the most, that as he talked about all these just impossible marriages getting better by following the simple plan of saying, God's will, not my will, and God's power, not my power, time after time, he said, now that couple, 15 years later, is a couple that's going out and sharing these principles with other couples that are in trouble. You see, once you got the wood right, once you got the spark right, you can't help but to be that light and that warmth in Jerusalem, their own marriage. In Judea, in Samaria, you know, their community. And now their stories are in this book going out across the world because they put it into practice. What if we put it into practice, church? What if we put God's way, not my way, God's power, not my power. And then we let our light shine in our community, in our nation, and in our world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you today for your love. God, I want to thank you today for this church. God, I want to thank you right now for the internet, for everybody that's listening. God, I know that right now there's some marriages that are hurting. They heard just what I said. And God, I just want to pray that you give them the power, the desire to say those words. God, not my will but yours, not my power but yours. And God, be willing to move through that process, whether it takes 1 month, 6 months, 9 months. God, there's so many other issues. But the answer to all of them is to say, God, we know you're in control and you're worthy. And God, I know that you are powerful. And God, I know that I'm supposed to shine for you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we enter into this time of reflection and invitation, maybe God's calling you. Maybe he's saying right now you've got some issues that you haven't turned over to me. You've got some issues right now where you're trying to get your comfort and not my kingdom. You've got some issues right now where you're using your power, not mine. Maybe on your couch, in your bed, wherever you're watching this, it's time for you to answer those questions and say, I'm going to be a light for God.